Blog Talk Radio. Good evening once again. Welcome back to Madame Perry Salon. Yes, I love that music. You know, we always have a dance break in here before the show when we hear the with the theme music, Miss Eve's Vacation. It was written about my corgi by my husband. Anyway, this is going to be another stellar night. You're going to want to subscribe and download and keep this one. My guest tonight is, she's not quite here, but I'm sure she's on the way. I think let me look out the window or get my security system to check. Anyway, she's amazing. She's drop-dead gorgeous. She's a winner, very recent winner of the Bram Stoker Award. Is that cool? And her name is, I think I hear the security people. Oh, yeah, that's definitely her. Okay.
General quarters, security condition 3.
Just let her in. Just let her in.
GQ3, intruder alert.
Okay, she's not the intruder, she's our guest. Okay, so my guest is here. Please welcome to Madame Perry Salon the fabulous Mercedes Yardley. Mercedes, how you doing?
Hello. I've never seen such security on in a genie's bottle before. That was amazing to get in here. Oh, my goodness. But it's so pretty inside. It's nice.
Thank you. After all that. Well, you know, my security team, it's a couple of alcoholics I hired just to keep them off the street. And they say they used to be actors or something. I don't know. You know, Hollywood types. So,
yeah.
But they take the job so seriously, you can't do anything about it. And I'm so glad you like it. You made your way through the beaded curtains, and you find whatever cushions you want to sit on.
Yes. Oh my goodness, this is gorgeous. I'm just going to live here forever, and I'm good.
You are welcome. You are welcome. As this is your first time here, so at least you know the security is pretty tight, especially for celebrities, my celebrity guests like yourself.
So, oh my goodness.
So, first of all, now, you've got big news. You've got a lot of stuff going on, but your big news just happened this weekend. And so,
goodness.
Let's lead with it.
Yes. I just won the Bram Stoker Award, which, for those listening that aren't familiar, it's one of the biggest awards in horror fiction. Stephen King has won this. Joyce Carol Oates has won this. G.R.R. Martin, Song of Ice and Fire, mm-hmm. that is the Game of Thrones. He has won this, and now somehow I have won this. So,
and somehow, well, honey, I don't think it just kind of I don't think that it just sort of happened. You know, I think that they knew exactly what they were doing. I mean, they had to, be able to call your name and everything and know why. So, I admire your modesty. I think I would be squealing, and then hiding in case they figured out it didn't belong to me. But
yeah, imposter syndrome.
So congratulations. How'd you feel? I know that on your website and on Twitter you said, okay, and then this happened. And then you have your picture.
looking confused. Well, if I can be completely honest, I was this was my first nomination ever. I'd never even been nominated before.
Oh, really?
And, There's a protocol. I mean, you're nominated like 6,000 times, and then eventually one time maybe you win. So it's my first nomination, and I'm in there, and I'm starstruck because there are these authors I love. R.L. Stine is there. I grew up reading his books. F. Paul Wilson, I see him, and he's the most dear man. He wrote like the Handyman Jack series and Repairman Jack. He is the most darling man, but every time I see him, my eyes just get starry and I get stupid. I'm like, hi. And he's like, hello, Mercedes. And I'm like, and that's
oh, my God.
So I'm sitting there with all of these wonderful people, and it's my event, and they're ready to call my name or whoever's name is going to win. And I'm so sure it's not going to be mine that I am fidgeting with my fingernail because my fingernail polish is kind of, like, driving me nuts, and I'm trying to fix it. And there's this sound, and I'm like, okay. And my friend's like, okay, Mercedes, it's time for you to get up there. And I look at her, and I'm like, why? And she says, they just called your name. And I was like, really? And I'm wearing, I kid you not, 6-inch heels. Because I didn't expect to have to walk up on stage. So I am clambering up there, and I'm all, oh, my goodness. And you're supposed to have a speech prepared. I never even thought about writing a speech because I had to be nominated another 12 times before I even could consider winning one. So I just lived America's nightmare on this stage, and it was one of the best moments of my entire life.
Oh, did it just seem like just very surreal, maybe kind of in slow-mo but fast at the same time?
Exactly like that. Oh, my goodness. And getting up there, I was like 2 tables away from the stage, but it's suddenly miles and miles and miles away. And then you're walking upstairs and you're like, these stairs, I'm going to fall through every one of them. They're so long and they're so big. And I was 6'2" on stage in those heels, so I'm towering over this little tiny podium. And it was just, oh, my goodness. And then I sat down and maybe an hour and a half later, I'm like, they just called my name. I just won, didn't I?
So, and in your picture, you look so elegant and confident and secure, like you belong there. Like you're happy, but like you belong there. A little bit stunned, but yeah, there's a little bit of a who, what, but yeah, you look very, very elegant and poised up there. And so let me ask you that when you, just to rewind just a bit, when your friend tells you they called your name, you know, and you're fiddling with your nail polish and you look up, are people looking at you?
Oh, yeah. They're looking at me and smiling and clapping. And I'm like, I just fixed my nail polish. Is that what you're clapping at me for? I did a good job. Is that? And people were so kind. And they're just kind of hustling you along with their hands nicely and, you know, patting your shoulder and helping you along. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is, you know, this will be one of the best moments ever when I can finally remember it and recall it.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was amazing. But it was wonderful. Like the feeling of support and the feeling of, I mean, being a first-time nominee to actually win was just, I never in a million years expected that. And people were so excited for me. And that was amazing. There was no feelings of, I didn't get any ideas of, you know, she shouldn't have won or she's a, you know, it was like, well, well-deserved. Which is the best thing you can ever tell someone that wins. That is
and
the
so
best
now,
thing you could ever say.
Now you share an award with George R.R. Martin, Stephen King, Joyce Carol Oates, among many other luminaries and people you've probably read and admired for years. Well done. Mm. Well done.
Thank you.
So the award, it says here, is the Superior Achievement in Long Fiction.
Yes.
And it's for your story, Little Dead Red. Now,
yes.
Long fiction, does that mean it's just a long story or closer to a novella?
It's closer to a novella. It's actually a novelette. So it's about 13,000 words, and like a novella starts at about 17,000. So we measure everything by word count. So it's a very long short story.
And so now, when did you write Little Dead Red? Can you tell us what it's about? I mean, I see a blurb here, but I'd rather hear from you.
Oh, well, Stacey Turner, who is just a wonderful editor, contacted a group of women and said, hey, I'd like to do this anthology called Grimm Mistresses, which is the Grimm brothers turned on their head. And so all the Grimm brothers stories were written and rewritten in modern day by women. And I thought that was such a great idea. That was such a forward thinking and give a different concept and just really fun. So my story was Little Red Riding Hood, which I've always just been enamored with. And so I took it into the modern day, and it's a story about a little girl named Alita, who, that's Little Red Red, and she has her little red hoodie. And Alita's mother is named Marie. And in the story, I call her Happy Marie or Grim Marie. It turns out that Grim Marie's husband had been molesting Alita, and so she had divorced her husband, and they're in very dire straits and trying to just survive in the middle of the city. And Marie's mother is ill in, like, her retirement home or in the hospital, and so she's going to go take her some food. And Alita's like, Mom, I've got this. I can do this. Let me just get on the bus. I'll bring her the soup. You come by later. We'll be fine. And Marie never lets Alita out of her sight. She feels so much guilt for all the things that have happened to her. And Alita's like, Mom, just take a bath. I'll do this.
Uh-huh.
And so Marie finally decides, okay, I'll take this bath. And it will be a moment for her to just cherish and be quiet and do something for herself. And when she gets over to go see her mother, Alita had never made it. So her daughter had got on the bus and disappeared in the middle of the city. And eventually we find out what happened to Alita, and she's been taken by the wolf. And so Grim Marie has to go after and try and find revenge because her daughter has been taken and disappeared and eventually found in pieces. So it's all a story about Grim Marie trying to track down the wolf.
Oh, all right. Well, don't tell us anymore. Don't tell us anymore. I don't want you to get up to 13,000 words yet. So just, okay, well, all right. So Little Dead Red. All right. So now before that, you, I'm sorry, I keep going back to the way, you know, I guess because you're a writer, an award-winning writer, you just created the scene so well for me of being there at the banquet. I'd imagine that after that you couldn't finish eating your dessert or anything. I would just...
Oh, goodness. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything.
So, now is, I just keep picturing this in my mind the way you described it. So, now you've written pretty wide, scope of work, your poetry, this novella, you've had a novel. Tell us about your writing career, where you began, how you started, who your influences. Well, let's start with when you were the young Mercedes, when you were the young, soon-to-be Bram Stoker Award winner. Did you love to read a lot as a kid, and who were your favorites?
Yes, I read all the time. My father would travel quite a bit, and he would bring back fairy tales, is what he would always bring back, books and books and books of fairy tales. So when other kids were growing up on, you know, TV, which I did too, I mean, I loved Voltron, let's be serious, that's awesome. But I would spend all of my time reading these fairy tales from different countries, you know, learning about Baba Yaga, all these different things. So I grew up reading, and my parents would actually, when I would act out, they would punish me by taking my favorite fairy tale book and hiding it up in the closet that I couldn't read,
on
a chair. And they would be like, I've got to take this book away. And I'm like, no, please, I'll be good. And they're like, no, this is what the punishment is. And to this day, I have that book, and now I read it to my children. But I always loved to read. And I would write stories, and I remember my teacher in third grade let me read my stories out loud to the class. And so that's what I always did. And then when I got older, I majored in creative writing and sociology, and then I stopped writing for about 10 years because I was being a responsible adult. And I have a son that has a disability, and so I spent all my time, you know, working to put my husband through school and to take care of my son and all these different things. And I didn't actually publish my first short story until 2008. So it really hasn't been that long. It feels like it's been a long time. Yeah, I didn't publish anything until 2008 with my first brand new on the scene. So this has all been, it feels very quick in a way, but it feels like I've been preparing my whole life to write. But yeah, I'm still a new kid.
Well, that's what exactly was on my mind. Was that, okay, it might seem quick, but it sounds like it has to be, even with a surprise, because I know you're very modest about this. You're not show off, but it has to feel comfortable. There has to be. I mean, even though you felt like you should have, you know, had several more nominations before you won, if you first published in 2008, then you must feel like you're in your right or correct or proper life's path or work.
Yes. this is where I'm meant to be. This is where my passion is. This is what I enjoy. So, and I hit the ground running. I did short stories. I worked for a horror magazine. I do nonfiction. I'm working on a memoir about my son's certain genetic syndrome. I like to do everything. I'm working on a poetry collection right now, a short story collection again, two novels that will be out hopefully by this year. I mean, it's what I do. This is what I do.
Okay, so you talk about... okay, there we go. Okay, glad you got that in before I said what I was going to say, because I'm saying, okay, so you're married, because I love the intro on your website. It's, you know, she's got one husband, two broken laptops, and three kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like defining. And then, of course, as you said, you know, you have one child with a certain, like a genetic disorder, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. So that's got to take up, you know, a different type of time or attention from a parent or both parents or the whole family, actually.
Yeah.
And it helped your husband, put your husband through school, you know, working and everything. And yet, then you still come out, do this, and look, drop dead gorgeous coming up on the stage. And
oh,
I have to tell you, you know, because this is the dream. See, this is the thing that, you know, my generation, like this is what we were rebelling against when we embraced feminism, was that we could do different things. We could make choices, and we didn't have to be in like one cookie cutter mode. You either do this or that.
Exactly.
And,
that's, yes. Yes, it's safe to be who we want to be. And something I want to tell you, this is my hair growing out after I shaved my head last year. I had just had enough of people saying you should look this way, you should do this, and I was like, I shaved my head bald, and it was the most liberating experience I've ever had. But I took a lot of flack from it because people feel that they can say what they want to say about your parents, especially as a woman. But to do that felt so brave, felt so liberating, felt so empowered. You know, my kids rubbing my head, my daughters saying, oh, this is what, you know, this is still beauty. You can be how you want to be. You know, my husband was so supportive. He had like way more hair than I did. And it felt good. You know, and we're at a time when we can do these things and it's okay. And people will shame us no matter what we do. So we might as well do what we want, you know,
mm-hmm.
do what we want. So, yeah, I'm not as cookie cutter as maybe I think I am. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty, you know, and it's, you know, we're all intricate, amazing little special snowflakes.
Okay. Oh, and you bake cookies too, right? So.
Oh my goodness, yes, that is. Oh yes, peanut butter cups, cookies. One of my favorite stories is peanut butter cups are exceptionally easy to make. They're really, really delicious. And we were at KillerCon one year, which is a horror conference here in Vegas. And
what's it called? KillerCon?
It was KillerCon. It's now defunct. It is no longer. But Raph James White, who is one of the most gorgeous human beings on earth and so kind and an amazing kickboxer, or he was the one in charge. Anyway, so it's 2:30 in the morning at this KillerCon conference, and there are all these authors around, and things are getting kind of, everyone's getting kind of bored. Everyone's getting kind of whatever. And I'm like, hey, I bought stuff to do peanut butter cups. You guys want to do peanut butter cups with me? And they're like, well, okay. So here's all these tough horror writers, right? And I forgot a rolling pin, so some guy grabs out a tequila bottle and is all rolling up the graham crackers with it, that instead of a rolling pin. And we used what we had on hand and like, hello, I make special effects for horror movies, and I have really strong arms, so I'm going to stir all this up. And it was amazing, and we made these peanut butter cups and all took pictures, and it was one of the most bonding experiences ever because everybody drops their, you know, I'm a horror writer, whatever. We were cooking together. We were gorgeous and wonderful, and to this day, it's one of my favorite memories. Everyone's like, I am so tough. Booyah! I made a peanut butter cup, and it's good. It was so much fun. But yeah, I love baking. I love cooking. I love that. Love it.
Well, you know, this kind of changes some things in my future plans. If you've ever listened to the show, sometimes, and there's a writer, a great writer and editor, Becky Kyle, or Rebecca McFarlane Kyle is how she's known professionally. And every now and then when she's on the show or with other guests, we'll talk about, you know, this is one of my plans, one of my goals, Mercedes. I want to have some kind of a tour bus. I'm not talking about something kind of ratty. It's got to be either a cool retro looking tour bus or, but it's probably going to have to be like something that country western stars travel in. And I want to get my favorite authors and musicians, and we'll just tour around the country. And some people will just be on for the tour and go out and, you know, we'll just have author and musician events. Because it's Madame Perry's Salon, like a gathering of interesting artistic people. And some people will be on for some cities and then get off. Somebody else gets on. But now I'm going to tell Becky that we need to have a big kitchen because this is where people bond over the creativity and the life-giving substance. And making cookies with... See, that makes me think about when you said somebody special effects. I'm thinking of somebody like... I studied special effects makeup years ago when I was a cosmetologist. And I remember Tom Savini was one of my favorite special effects guys. And actually, he's in the movie From Dusk Till Dawn. Plays a musician
Wow.
But I could picture me, you know, those, yeah, that would be so much fun, having the people around and you're cooking and making, I don't
that
know.
That sounds like a dream. That's like a that's a perfect theme. And they have those gypsy caravans, too. Can you imagine that, everyone in those gypsy caravans traveling around cooking?
So you're in on this tour? I gotta put you down
on this tour.
I'm writing, this is not in pencil, Mercedes. I'm writing this down.
I'm in on this tour. I am also, because I grew up very blue collar, if the bus breaks down, our wonderful retro bus breaks down, I am a good pusher. I can
This is good to know. This is a good skill.
Yes. Yes.
So tell me about
I can kickbox and kick, you know, I can beat the doorman. I can be the bouncer. I'm also a good pusher. So.
Oh, this is good. So you'll do it with charm. What are you going to do? You'll smile. You'll flash that gorgeous smile with the red lipstick and bat your lashes and then, you know, kick somebody. I don't know. I'm just
kick
checking
somebody.
On this.
Yes. I used to work at a sex offender home, actually, and I had to learn how to do self-defense. And then I went into kickboxing, and I learned how to do it in my heels if necessary. So I wear these stilettos, and I can deliver some damage. So just, you know, I'm good to have on hand, you know, for a difficult time.
This gets better and better because, well, I don't know, you know, you're young, but I wanted to be Diana Rigg from the Avengers or Mrs. Peel or the girl from Uncle. So this gets better and better.
Yes, yes.
Well, did your parents, were they writers too, or?
Oh, no. My mother's a librarian. My father works for the power plant. My mother won't read my work. I think it disturbs her. So she'll buy a couple things, and she'll be like, oh, I bought this for the library, and it's some totally weird random. I'm like, I don't think any of my books are in there. I think like an anthology I was in once is in there. Like, she doesn't know what it is, but my father reads everything, and he's like, well, that was a lot. I have this one called Apocalyptic Montessa and Nicola Lulu, A Tale of Atomic Love, and it's kind of a serial killer, Romeo and Juliet, Firestarter sort of story.
Well, yes,
and my
yes, tell
like,
us. Say the name again. Say it slowly because that was next time I
yes.
the thing to ask you.
It's quite a name. It's I can't even say it now. Blah, blah, blah. Apocalyptic Montessa and Nuclear Lulu, A Tale of Atomic Love. And my father read that and he's like, well, this is a little more bloody than I thought it would be. They're slipping in blood a lot, but I'm so proud of you, Pumpkin, you know? So, I love it. He gives my books to his you know, his coworkers. He's like, my daughter wrote this, and there's like, you know, a massacred somebody on front, or my daughter wrote this, and it's a story about Jack the Ripper. My little girl did.
Because, you know, when I was picking out the pictures to put on the slideshow here of you, I found so many great ones. And there was one, I think I didn't get it up yet, but it looked like, I thought, I don't know if she'd want that. It looks much more like Frenny Fisher from the Miss Fisher Mystery.
Oh, my goodness. I love that show, her clothing.
Really?
I want everything she's ever worn on that show. Oh, my goodness, her headpieces.
It's perfection. She,
yes,
yeah.
And you also realize she's the woman that was in The Babadook. That's
and the what?
Same, The Babadook horror movie that came out.
Oh, really?
It is the same woman. She is my spirit animal. She's in Franny Fisher, which is so, you know, gorgeous and competent. And then she is the lead character in this horror movie that that hurts your soul. You need to watch it. It's on Netflix. Same woman.
Oh, I will. I will. I'll trust you. So tell us about Apocalyptic Montessa and Nuclear Lulu. So tell us more about them.
I love this story. I adore this story. It's it's actually the first long thing I had ever published. And it's a novella, and it's about this woman that her name is Montessa. Her mother always told her she'd be special. Her mother died very young, and she was kind of abused and passed around and is a stripper, an exotic dancer. And she's walking home one day, and this man in a semi beats her over the head with a wrench, pulls her into the semi, ties her up, and is going to murder her. And it's a love story. But it has so much heart to it. I know. When you read it, you'll understand.
Okay. And I trust you.
Yes. Okay. It is the most beautiful love story of kind of acceptance and grace and revenge and showing love through the way you know how, the best, even if it's maybe not the healthiest way to express it. But I love it. It's Romeo and Juliet meets Firestarter. Absolutely.
Well, I have a question from a listener.
I
told you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I told you I had some very fascinating regulars that either call in or text in or message in questions. And one of my favorites, he's an author and poet and publisher of Subtlety Magazine. His name is David Hurley. And I love him dearly, and he's got a new book coming out, but before this was Sharon Tate and the Daughters of Joy. I highly recommend that. He says, for Mercedes, first of all, you are gorgeous, with capital A-R-E, you are gorgeous.
Nice.
Second, and he's not the creepy kind that compliments. He's just a wonderful guy. But he says, first of all, you are gorgeous. Second, congratulations for winning that impressive award. And third, the cover for Pretty Little Dead Girls alone lures me to your work. And fourth, looking through your blog, I really like your sense of humor. Happy Easter. Traumatize your children. Showing the cartoon adaptation of Watership Down to kids. Priceless. And he says, I blush to admit that your enthusiasm for lovely shoes and boots amuses me so. Can you tell us that? Can you tell us about that? And also, you just mentioned the Babadook. Have you seen the Superior It Follows? All right. What have you got to say to David?
No,
do I need to
I
back up
seen
and
It Follows. No. I've already written his name down, so I can follow up myself if I need to.
Do I need to go back like a transcriptionist to read back? Okay, like a court reporter, read it back.
Let's see. Thank you. And let's see. We bought Watership Down specifically to show it to my children. And we have two little rabbits that we actually have that are just adorable little bunnies that we hold. So they were maybe a little more afraid. Actually, they loved it. I loved Watership Down. Let's see. Yeah, back up now.
Okay.
I love shoes, and there's actually a story behind it. I am 5'9", and that's pretty tall, and I was taller than everybody in my junior high class, and I never had the confidence to wear heels because I always felt like people were looking at me, and I was just this gargantuan Amazon, and my friends were all like tiny little petite things. And I remember being on the tennis team in high school, and I just was, everyone's lined up for their tennis pitcher, and it's like, do-do-do-do, me. And I just was so self-conscious. And I found this pair of heels. We're actually here in Vegas where I live, but I was just visiting at the time. And there were these beautiful, gorgeous blue platform, kind of a Chinese silk dragon design shoe with 4-inch heels. And I thought, do I dare? And I finally bought them, and I wore them until I could wear them no more. And I decided that it didn't matter to me if I was taller than everybody or if people commented on it, or I was going to do it. And it was my liberation, my emancipation. And
whoa.
I love them. In fact, I'm looking at my collection right now. There is, I probably have probably only about 30 heels now because I've winnowed them out. But I love them. They are my babies. I mean, my kids wear them around the house. I love them so much. They just make me happy. They're joy. And they're also kind of my promise to myself to, like, you know, you can be who you are, Starshine. You don't have to try and fit into someone else's mold. So be 6 foot two on stage in front of people. It ain't no thing.
Yeah, it ain't no thing. Go ahead.
Yeah,
do
it ain't no thing.
And he said, I remember he also said, well, congratulations on winning that impressive award. And he said, the cover for Pretty Little Dead Girls alone lures me to
yes.
your work.
Thank you. Galen Dara. I specifically saw her out for that cover. She's a friend of mine, and she is the most gorgeous. Her work is also mysterious and dark, but also uniquely feminine, which I think is just wonderful. Very, very, very luring. And her name is Galen Dara. And she, I sent her a bit of my work and said, hey, could you, maybe do a cover for this? And it is, she nailed it. It's gorgeous. It's ethereal. It's ephemeral. It's the sadness and sorrow to it. I saw that cover and I just, so yes, thank you. She is just amazing.
So that's impressive. Thank you so much, David Hurley, and he may have another comment coming through. I certainly hope so. I just adore him. And also, my dear friend Brent Robinson said he loves your work, and that sounds a bit to him like a little bit of Anne Rice in there.
Oh,
don't
that flatters me. Thank you. I love her. I love her things. I love her work.
Okay. Because he put an exclamation mark in there behind that, too.
Hold
okay,
on just
and,
one second. Just one
oh,
second.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah,
and hi, this is Madam Perry. Who's on the line with me?
Hello,
this is Madam. You're in Madam Perry Salon with Madam Perry.
Yes,
and
my name is Donna.
Your name is what?
And my name is Donna. Donna?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I just wanted to ask for Sadie if she's looking forward to most things with her work. And that's what the master of the city was. She'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay, now I'm not sure because I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. It sounds like you're outside or in a car. So if you could just say your name a little closer to the microphone so I can hear you, and so she can hear you too.
My name is Donald.
Donald.
Oh, it's Donald.
My question. Yes, I am. My question for Mercedes is two parts. First question is what she's looking forward to doing next the most, and the second part is how is the cookie.
How is the cookie? So that's my friend Donald.
Oh, good. Welcome, Donald.
And I missed the first part of it. I missed the first part of the question. What did
you
say?
What are you looking forward to doing next, I believe?
Oh, my goodness. Geez. I have a reading. I'm flying to L.A. to do a reading on Saturday for Shades and Shadows, and I'm so excited for that. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing next. I'm trying to figure out how to get from the airport to the hotel and not die because I get lost. And the cookie was wonderful, Donald. Thank you. He bought me a you want a cookie.
Awesome.
Oh, really? Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
he's a nice guy. Sorry for the interruption. My son had just decided that the party was over, and he came crashed, and he's like, Mom. So I gave him some snacks. I threw some snacks for the children, and they're good now. They're good again.
I know.
Okay.
It's like the corgis. I don't know if you have the same situation, Donald, but Mercedes, it's like my corgis in the studio. They're fine. They're under the desk until I start the show. And when they see these things on my head, they know that I can't get up, and they become little extortionist retreats.
Exactly. They know.
Yeah.
They know.
All
don't
right.
let those
Take care, Mercedes. Have a day.
See you, Donald.
Hey, Donald, thank you so much for calling. Oh, that was nice.
What a nice guy. He actually flew in. He actually flew in to Vegas to come to the banquet to be a support. So that was really
fantastic.
That was really nice.
And
yeah.
Donald, yeah. And so he's a friend of yours, or is he also a writer?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a reader. I actually met him through Gardner Goldsmith. I was doing a show for Guard, and Donald listened, and he's a really wonderful reader. He just, once he likes your work, he reads all of your stuff. He reads voraciously. It's just really cool.
Isn't that fantastic? And you know what the thing is, when and especially, you know, like maybe, I mean, Donald, the you know, I think about, you know, I'm a book publicist, and one of my clients, I've been off on, we've been on this tour for her book, Finding Tambry. Her name is Sherry Meeks, and sometimes we meet people who say, oh, well, I want to write, you know, I think about writing, but I don't know, and I said, well, you know, think about a writer that you really enjoy so much. You cherish their books. You might give them as gifts to people. You keep them, take care of them, reread them. And think about how you feel if that person had never written that book or put it out there or just kind of hid it, you know, in the back of a sock drawer or something, you know. And you think what would be missing from your life. So maybe when you write, you're sharing with somebody. And then Donald, somebody who's sweet enough to give you a cookie.
Right? I'm all about the cookies.
I'm all about it too. And then and then take the time to call in tonight, you know. Yeah, so it's amazing how far a book can go. I love how things just sort of reach out and touch each other and introduce you to interesting and wonderful people.
That's such a beautiful way to put that. Such a beautiful way. How would you feel? I'd never thought of that. I'm so glad you said that. How would feel if these books hadn't existed and you didn't? I feel like a sense of loss just thinking about some of the books that have touched my life and if they hadn't been written.
Yeah.
I just, that makes me, oh.
Well, yeah,
so
I think, you know, we all have some, and that's what I tell people. I say, think about that, and who knows, you may be that to many, many other people, or even if it's just to one other person, you know, it still matters. It matters. So Donald also asked, you know, what are you looking forward to doing next? And you know this is going to happen to you, Mercedes. You get a big award. Everybody wants to know, say, hey, that's great. Congratulations. Now what are you going to do? So now what's on your calendar? You're not going to just sit home and dust it all the time.
You know, I was doing the same thing I'm doing before. I was really, really, really busy. And now I'm really, really, really busy with a super cool Haunted House Award. So it's the same.
With the what, dear?
It's the same thing. Oh, the Bram Stoker is a haunted house. It's a house. You were
house. Yeah. I saw your pictures too.
I put it for those listening. I just let my kids have at it. It's a beautiful award, and they, you know, My Little Pony lives in there now, and a little different. Jesus lives in there, and I think there's a pig from what is that? Angry Birds. They all live in this little haunted house award, and they have decorated the house with, you know, little toys. So I finally took it from them, and now it's, you know, on my shelf with the dragon. So it's still very serious, but just so much fun. They just keep everything in perspective.
Well, I was seeing the pictures and I thought, well, now that's wonderful. You know, some people have little Christmas villages they add to every year, or little Easter villages, and the Yardley family, well, they have the Bram Stoker Award Haunted House, and the whole family just nurtures it and gives it love and puts little things, critters around it, My Little Pony, Jesus flowers.
That's how it is, though. The writing and the horror, my family just, you know, they just roll with it. And my children are small. My son's 13, my daughter's 8, my other daughter is 4. And they just, you know, okay, Mom's going to go somewhere and meet some big scary people. And my daughter's like, give them all hugs for me, you know. And I come home with, like, books and some of the swag. And they're like, oh, that's terrifying. I love it. And my 4-year-old pretends, you know, she pretends she's a zombie princess. I just picked up a book by Rob Bowley, I think is how you say his last name. And it's Snow White. But when Snow White, mm-hmm. when the prince kissed her and she rose as a zombie. Something was wrong. Something was not right. And my kids are, that's what they're acting out now. So, Rob, that's for you. Thanks for doing that to my children, because they are so excited to, like, the prince kissed me and now I'm dead. And you're like, well,
I think
okay.
Prince Charming. Yeah. Prince Charming there must have had halitosis or something. So
what did he do? What the sicko?
What have you done to her? You know, actually, so right now, if you need to go check on your kids, and or your little zombies. I've got a couple of wonderful, wonderful sponsors this week that I'm going to give a shout out to and give you a minute if you need it. And or if not, then you can go get some treats for my corgis. That'd be great. You know, we're talking about, you know, makeup and sci-fi and special effects makeup. And I love, you know, I used to be was a cosmetologist and did special effects and makeup. And I also did worked in department stores. I love makeup. And I love now how people are using the different tricks to sculpt. And I go on Pinterest and learn stuff that I never knew growing up. But there's a company called Unique, and it's spelled Y-O-U-N-I-Q-U-E, Unique. And it's fantastic cosmetics, uniqueproducts.com is the website, and I'm going to have them on the, I'm going to post it on Twitter and on my Madame Perry's Salon page on Facebook. But they have everything, plus you can have your own parties on there, find things for your own looks. One thing I want to get from there is called Moodstruck, not Moonstruck, but Moodstruck 3D Fiber Lashes. I need big lashes. You know, I'm on stage sometimes too. So I want this. It says it increases your average lash volume by up to 400%. With Moodstruck 3D Fiber Lashes. I'm going to definitely check that out. And they have everything separate, you know, eyes, lips, face, skin, body, different tools, Indian collections and sets. And so I'm going to be talking about them for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm going to tell you something a little bit more about them every time. And I think right now there's a May gift. You get a free brush with the sculpting trio. But you can click on there and learn more. And they're looking to hire more people, too, so you can have your own business with them. And the other sponsor this month is called Miller's Corral, and that's MillersCorral.com is the website. Larry Miller is the founder and owner of MillersCorral.com, and he wants you to come visit because he says, you know, owning your own business can be scary. Lord, I know that's true. It says, as there are so many roles to play, but with that in mind, you have a great framework for prosperity, if nothing else, to find a real recipe for success. So what they do is MillersCorral.com will help you buy and sell and trade domain names. And I'll add some more information about them, too, and tweet about that. And we're going to talk about, they're going to be with us again next week as well. So, all right, so let's get back. I've got a question to ask. Guess, oh, we got another phone call coming in just a moment. I bet I know who this is. Hold with me. Mercedes, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This is like Mystery Date the Game, isn't it?
I know. I'm like, who is it?
I know. Welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Please come in. Sit down. Find a nice cushion.
Thank you very much.
And say hello to Mercedes Yardley.
Mercedes, hello. And also, can I congratulate you? I'm sure loads of people have been saying this, but I haven't said it verbally. Well done on the incredibly well-deserved Stoker win.
Thank you.
I think I know it's kind of dark in here and the beaded curtains and all that, but I believe we can tell this is the frightening and luscious at the same time. Jasper Bark.
Jasper, it's you!
I couldn't resist calling in.
We are delighted. You know, this is like girls having a pajama party, and you call the rock stars on the phone, and they actually show up.
Oh, my goodness. You said his name, and he was summoned. How did Jasper stay on? Oh my goodness, it's so good. It's so good to hear your voice. Thank you so much.
And yours as well. Yes, because so far we have only corresponded, so you have no idea what I sounded like.
No.
In fact, you only have, you don't really have any idea what I look like because I actually hire a small, strange looking actor to appear as me in all of my videos. And my post. He even lip syncs to get my voice perfectly right. He's an Albanian refugee called Ivo, whom I employed to make my guest appearances. I'm actually about, because he's quite small and sort of strange looking, and I'm actually about 6'8" and very corpulent.
Oh,
and
yes,
a bit camera
naturally.
Shy.
So you're about my height, is what you're saying.
Well, that's interesting. And I thought I knew all about what you look like, Jasper, because of the video where you were drinking tea and just have a napkin over your, I think you have on a hat as well, but a little napkin over your, I mean, a big napkin over your nether regions, or your actors, your devil's nether, never mind. Go ahead, folks.
Yes, I think it's a book, actually.
I just tripped all over myself.
I was teased recently by the author, Matt Shaw, as well, for the fact that it only took one book to keep my modesty. But he's from Glasgow, though, Matt Shaw, and of course, obviously, they real men there, they need a library to cover themselves.
Jasper and his virtue. That was my next story.
This is like
the modest virtue of Jasper Bark.
Oh, I like it. I like it, Mercedes.
I was just going to say that's a very oxymoronic comment, really, isn't it? If you've got the word modest virtue and Jasper Bark in the same sentence, something's going wrong there.
I really like that play on words. I like to take the impossible and make it, you know, possible.
I'm getting warm in here. I got to take the shirt off. I'm glad this is on video. Well, we could do that.
Three of us in the genie bottle.
We could say it's a nude show. Who's to know? Who's to know?
Who's to know? Do you think we sound different with no clothes on?
Oh. We're going to play strip to rope.
Not that I'm suggesting we kind of conduct this experiment to see, but I was just floating it out there as a potential subject, a topic of conversation.
Well, you know, we could try that because Mercedes, Jasper's going to be, I guess, very soon. And we haven't picked the date yet, but very soon. And so would you return to take part in that experiment?
Yes, I will.
Will you?
Voices sound.
Please,
so, Madam,
please do.
Madam Perry Salon, the naked edition, is that what's going on?
We might start a new trend for naked radio.
I have a
Some people have great
radio.
Faces for radio. Maybe we've all got great figures for radio. I don't know.
We can, you know, this could be something special, and give me something else to promote it with. We say this is the that's a trend. That's the trend. Is naked radio. Someone called me to interview me about where I see the future of publishing going, because I was going to be at Book Expo last week. Well, I was there. And so now I can say, but I also know where the trend of internet radio is going.
And you're like, excuse me, let me take my clothes off and answer that question for you.
Oh, good. I'm a Southern gal. I'm going to need a little fan in here. So we'll have tea and mint julep. Now, what we can...
Oh, that sounds good. Sorry, Mercedes, carry on.
Yes, Mercedes, please do, because I cannot. You're the only hope.
Well, I just loved your gasp when he's like, should we take our clothes off and see if they sound different? And you just, oh.
Who, him or me? I did?
Woo-hoo!
Well, what I was going to say, you know what? Let's be real. We all have our own projects we're working on. My recent Indiegogo campaign raised $5, and I know that's pretty good. So we all have things we're trying to do for ourselves and our families and our careers and our work and charities, whatever. So then we could also say, but if you want a photo from the show, send in, you know, X amount of money.
Well, that would probably work for you two. I could probably do the reverse. I could threaten that if you don't want me to post or send a photo, then you better play it quickly.
See, I figured mine would be saying, put it back on. And I'd say, I got to pay me first.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I used to do when I used to be a professional impersonator of Monroe and Madonna. And, you know, I did it for, you know, events, big companies and promotions and stuff and places like Planet Hollywood and such. But I remember there were always some people who just never quite got into the spirit of the fun. And they would say, oh, you think you're beyond, whatever, you know, oh, you're going to blow your skirt up or whatever. And to try to diffuse some of these, you know, unparty people, I'd say, oh, no, honey, I've had 5 kids. They pay me not to do that. I don't have any kids. I mean, not that you have kids or anything, but just to kind of get people just to, you know, get off it and just start laughing, have a little fun. I go, oh, no, they pay me not to.
Oh, my gosh. So,
really?
It's funny about the odd people in audience. I remember when I spent many years as a professional stand-up, and even in gigs where you are absolutely killing it, where every single person in the audience was falling off their chairs with laughter and you were on fire, there was always one lone person sitting there slightly scowling at everything you said. and it would be like the one light bulb on the Christmas tree that you couldn't turn back on again. And you'd work your socks off to make this one, but even just crack a smile, and they never would. But that was the very first person right at the end of your gig who'd be at the front of the queue to buy your book, stroke, kind of album or whatever, and wanted to tell you how much they loved your set. And you'd be thinking to yourself, but you scowled throughout the whole thing.
Maybe they couldn't
You're kinder than I would be like, annihilate them. Just annihilation, you know. They don't call me Miss Murder for nothing. Just, you know, you're not smiling. Ah! And then, you know. I'm not allowed in public, ever.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And so, okay, well, that sounds interesting. So we're going to have to get – Jasper hasn't heard about the tour bus yet, but we're going to have to get him on that, too. We'll have to go overseas to do it. But
I think the air just changed in the tour bus. I think it just became like the sauna bus or something. I think it's all changed.
And you know, I don't care whose picture we put my head on or the whole thing when we do this. Just, I mean, I do care, but I mean, it doesn't have to be me. But yeah, that would be fun. So, Naked Radio, Mercedes Yardley and Jasper Bart. And yeah, we could have some of Mercedes bakes. You've heard her talk about baking with some of her friends at Killer Con.
Mm-hmm.
Naked Bacon with Mercedes. Yeah.
What was the movie with Helen Mirren about the calendar girls? Yeah, we have some kind of a...
That is the kind of girls.
So, and you're both with Crystal Lake Publishing, aren't you?
Yes.
Which is...
yes.
That's right.
You can only imagine the staff meetings, I'm sure.
Oh, I'd love to imagine a staff meeting at Crystal Lake. And this is a good time for me to give out my love to Joe Meinhardt, because I just think he's a wonderful guy.
Oh, he is.
Joe's
he really is.
Absolutely brilliant guy. And I think I'm the only one of his authors to actually have met him. My wife, her parents were missionaries, and they worked all over the world. One of the places they worked was South Africa. And recently, my brother and sister-in-law ran a mission school near Joburg, in the north of South Africa, and my family actually and I travelled out there to the north of South Africa, and we drove all the way down to the Cape. And along the way, we stopped off in Joe's little town of Bloemfontein, and actually got to meet him. This was before I'd decided to sign with him to do the first book I did with him.
Wow.
So I got to meet him and his lovely wife, Anime.
I didn't realize he was a real man. He doesn't really exist.
Actually,
no one's ever seen him, Jasper.
I am the only person to have seen him and lived outside of South Africa.
Yeah, so what is the Crystal Lake?
Really
is that
don't
where the
want me to go into
gone?
Detail about what I had to do to live.
You know what? That will be your next tell-all. It'll be naked confessions with Jasper Bart.
Oh, Mercedes. See, I was going to assure him that we wouldn't try to wrangle that out of him as we passed him the plate of cookies that you made, the special cookies.
The special ones.
What laced with truth serum?
I want to know all.
I'll give you the special mint julep. Okay, now, Mercedes, you said you're going to fly somewhere this next week for a reading or this weekend. Where are you going?
Yes, I'm flying down to L.A. They have this wonderful reading series called, I just blanked on it. I said it earlier and I said it right, Shades and Shadows, the Shades and Shadows reading. And
like John Skip is going to be reading, and I am so excited. And they're actually paying to fly me out. I feel like a real author. And they're going to be actually doing it into a podcast, which I believe this is the first time. They've been doing the series for a while, but it's the first time they're going to start recording and distributing it. So that'll be really, really neat. But I'm thrilled. I just look at me. I'm flying to LA doing a reading, flying back. I feel so professional.
Well, you
are. That's fantastic. Things are really picking up.
Your career really starts to take off
as soon as you sign with Crystal Lake.
Say it again. That's what you said.
I said your career really starts to take off as soon as you sign with Crystal Lake.
Oh my goodness! Well, they put out they are so kind. I am not used to being treated so well by a publisher. I'm not used to being treated so. Okay, what are your feelings on this, Mercedes? And I'm like, oh, well, I have feelings. I'll express them, and they're taken into account. It's amazing. Yeah, and they promote. They're wonderful. I love Crystal Lake.
I think, actually, that when the announcement was first made as well, I dropped you a little line, which I don't often do with other authors. But just to assure you, actually, that my experiences with them had been really positive.
I remember that.
Yeah, for an author, they're up and down sometimes, and we have to let each other know who the people to avoid are, but also to let each other know when we've made a good career decision.
Yes, I remember that. That meant so much to me, Jasper, because I was a little gun shy, and I was bringing over a catalog. I signed a 6-book deal with Crystal Lake, and that was a little, you know, alarming. That's a marriage. that's a long time to spend with somebody, and I appreciate that. In fact, Kevin Lucia is the one that actually told me about Crystal Lake. He's an author. He's also with Crystal Lake. And he's like, you know, I know you're not really happy where you are right now. Can I suggest these guys? And he's like, I swear to you, they're really stellar. And then Joe reached out and was like, I swear to you, I'm pretty stellar. You know, but he was nice about it. And that made me confident and comfortable enough to go. And, yeah, they published 4 of my books, reprints. And most publishers won't do that. Pretty Little Dead Girls, Apocalypse Montessa, Little Dead Red, actually, were with another publisher, and I pulled all my work from them, and Chris Blake took a gamble because the published books that have already been published, that's kind of, you know, they've already been out before. You don't want that. You want all new material. So for them to be like, yeah, we'll publish these 4, that was pretty cool.
That was very, very cool. The thing I also like about them in many ways is I remember when I was quite a young kid, as well as following certain bands, after a while you began to spot that there were certain record labels who always unfailingly brought out the kind of music you were really into. And sometimes you take a gamble on an artist you didn't recognise just because it came out on a particular label. And now, as both an author and as an avid reader, there are certain publishers who I think, if it's out with these people, then I'll pretty much like it. And Joe is another one of those authors. He has got unfailingly good taste. If you decide to take a gamble on a person, you know it's going to be a good book. It's going to be a good read.
Exactly. Yeah, and everything they put out is diverse. I mean, there's diverse. You know, it's not the same. Like everything I've read from them has been different and nuanced, and I like that. I like that because you get bored. You get bored with just the same, and this is totally different.
That's true, and that's one of the problems with both reading widely and writing within a genre, because there's an awful lot of people who might be perfectly competent at writing and perfectly competent at plotting, but they're kind of recycling the same old tropes, and this is kind of the same book you've read over and over again with a tiny twist, and it's often not enough of a twist. I do want something interesting, unusual, and new, which is what obviously I find in your work, and one of the reasons that that Joe signed you, and that's one of the things I like, and Kevin's work as well, which is excellent.
Yeah, Kevin has been a guest, and I want him back very soon as well. Kevin Lucia, also Mark Gunnels from Crystal Lake Publishing, mm-hmm. was on about 2 months ago, I think, and he's just a delightful person. He'll send love out to those guys, and especially to Mark Gunnels.
Mark's a sweetheart.
He is a sweet man.
He also has a completely inappropriate sense of humor, which he and I bonded over, I must admit.
I can only imagine that, Jasper.
Did he tell you about his mother?
No, he didn't. Well, which one? The one he has kind of stuffed and still in the basement, or the other one? Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to mention that. Excuse me. No, no. Sorry, forgot I said that. Anyway, yes, by his mother. She must be a lovely woman.
Oh, she sounds like it. And of course, you know, today she just he lost a stepfather today. His so it's a sad day for him. So he won't be joining us tonight. But he said that when his mother, she's one of those Southern women that will just say the most bizarre thing at any time that you don't know what's coming out. And he said the first time his mother met his boyfriend, that she sat down at the table and just said something. I can't remember what it was now, but God, it was so funny. But if it were, but to come up with something Southern and crazy like that, because as you can tell from my accent, I really am from the South. It's something like during dinner the first time. Did Mark tell you that we dropped him out of a truck one time when he was 6 months old and he had a bump on his head and we didn't think he'd live and so we were going to give him away? Now, it wasn't that, but it was something like similar to that craziness, just out of the blue. So. And I just made that up because I've heard this kind of stuff all my life. You know? Because I don't know how it is where you grew up, Mercedes, and talk about, you know, because, I mean, you know, you guys amaze me in how you create the people in your books and the characters and you flesh them out and you give them dimensions and good and bad. And nobody's ever totally good or bad, but everybody's got their own little dimensions. And I remember as a kid when I would want to do something, because my parents were from small towns. So I grew up in Atlanta. And I said, well, can I do something with so-and-so? Go over there. Well, who are they? Well, they're in my class at school. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. Or actually, it was, well, that don't tell me nothing. And I couldn't figure out what they meant. And then it finally hit me, all the Sunday dinner tables at my grandmother's and all the family there, and somebody would say, well, who is so-and-so? You know, Lurleen, she was a pot before she married a Stubbs, and her mama was cross-eyed, and her daddy was in prison, and then they had that other cousin. And everything just kind of went on and on and on into this whole story. So you get this picture of this, you know. Yeah, he's the just-out-of-prison tilt-a-whirl operator. That was her, second husband. So you don't know.
That's exactly how I grew up. Yes, the tilt-a-whirl operator, ex-con. I love how you say that.
You know,
everyone, history back generations. Well, you know, when they took all the cattle and they ran them across the line and they took them from so and so thing and then there was that fight and yeah. That's how I grew up too. Small towns.
Wow, I grew up in a small rural town in the north of England, but my parents were originally gypsies, so they're very peripatetic. So we were the very strange offcomers about whom no one knew anything. So from my earliest part of my life, I was considered somewhat strange and suspect and dubious, which I guess has just kind of followed me around. And now when I spent years living in cities due to the anonymity, and as soon as I started to have children, my wife and I moved to a small town. I now live in a small southern English rural town where no one knows anything about us.
I
perpetuate a web of lies and rumors and complete misinformation about me. But the fact that I tend to do something creative it's always a good excuse if I happen to be overly eccentric. People can sort of mouth each other, well, he's a writer, you know, and then they nod knowingly. Oh, of course.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I find that is the best excuse. Well, I write. Okay. Yeah.
That's right. He's very artistic, they say, which can be a polite way of saying any number of things, can't it?
I actually heard my daughter tell someone, okay, my daughter drew this thing for Mother's Day, and she drew a picture of me, right? And she drew a picture, and her teacher's like, that's a very lovely picture, but your mother has a mohawk, and it's purple. Maybe you want to draw her real hair. And my daughter goes, that is a real hair. And the teacher was like, oh. And my daughter said, so I just told her mom, I said, my mom's a creative. She's 8, and she's popping off that my mom's a creative. The teacher's like, oh.
Yes, they learn from the youngest age to explain their parents, don't they? I remember... Another parent saying to my eldest daughter, you know, your dad's not really like other dads, is he? And she looked at him down, she's only 10 years old, and she went, I worked that out years ago.
Well, that's better than like when we were kids. I mean, it was always just, oh, he's drunk or whatever. And now it's like, creative. Autistic sees the world through a different lens.
Oh, and while we're talking about fun people besides our drunk parents, there's also want to give out some more, send some more love out to a Crystal Lake family and a couple of folks. Chantal Nordlus. What? Chantal, she's a nice person. She's not Crystal
Chantal
Lake.
Chantal is a lovely person. I don't think she's Crystal Lake, but she's a fabulous, she's with Horrific Publishing, who are in English publishers. And that's Graham Reynolds who runs that, and he's a wonderful chap. It's a fabulous line of books. And Chantal's a lovely, lovely person.
Graham Reynolds, okay. I was thinking Graham Lineman, who's the IT crowd. Okay. Yeah, well, she hangs out with the Crystal Lake people. She does. She's always palling around with them.
She is. She's aspiring to join our ranks. But she's not quite reached that level of glory just yet. But she will.
What, glory or brawling? I couldn't understand you.
I said glory. But level of brawling, that equally might be kind of quite applicable.
Well, that's how you get into Crystal Lake. There can only be one. It's like the Hunger Games, but with writing.
Yeah, she's always loitering with intent with some of those Crystal Lake people. And Emma Audley.
Emma's a lovely lady.
Emma is lovely. And who else is, well, not Crystal Lake, but I like her anyway. I like her. Errol Barrow.
Oh, I haven't met her.
Oh, you should. You should. You know how some companies, sorry to interrupt you, Mercedes, I apologize. You know how some companies have like a corporate baseball team, softball team or something like that, or a corporate soccer team they meet up? See, maybe if the publishers had like a corporate roller derby or
mixed martial
arts. That is my dream. I don't heal well.
So cool.
I break and don't heal well. But, you know, the aggression of roller derby, that would be a fantastic like Crystal Lake roller derby team. Except we're also nice. That's the thing. We'd be like, oh, your bones are broken. Oh, I'm so sorry. You okay? Can I help you back up? All right. The tap.
You know, I've got a friend. I've got lots of friends in the roller derby in Atlanta. One of them is she's a PhD in mathematics at Kennesaw State University, but she's also a roller derby, and her roller girl name, and their names are fabulous, is Quadratic Abrasion.
Oh, fantastic.
The webpage says her a weapons of choice,
you know,
or a calculator, and a bad attitude.
Because roller derby's only just caught on here in the UK. It's only been a sport for the past couple of years. And I only got into it because I was hired to write a graphic novel about the Chicago roller derby.
Really?
Silver Phoenix Entertainment are the publishers, and they got in touch with me, and they were offering lots of money as well. And they started talking about roller derby, and I actually hadn't got a clue what it was. So I had to bluff my way through the conversation, the Skype call, as this British guy who had no clue. I'd never seen the sport ever. And then as soon as I put the phone down, I had to go and order a copy of Whip It. And my girl started watching it with me, and we became huge fans. And then all of a sudden, we went to British meets and became quite hooked on it, because I had no idea. And when you go and see it live, just how fast and how exciting it is.
It's bowling with people.
What did you say, bowling?
Bowling. It's bowling with people. I mean, you hear people fall down like pins.
But it's tremendously skillful as well. It's like most contact sports. It takes a tremendous amount of skill, but added to that skill is also a huge amount of physical bravery. And you see far more of the character of the people who compete. In the same way that the boxers and other fighters, really, there's an element of character that comes out in that sort of competition you don't necessarily see in other competitive sports. And I think it's the same in roller derby as well.
That's my dream. When I lived in Seattle about, 10 years ago now, probably 13 or 14 years ago, I wanted to be one of the Rat City Roller Girls. That's what I wanted to do. That's,
wow.
You know, and then I was like, well, I have this small son, and I need to put my husband through his MBA, so I probably better not, like, break things and die, because then we'd be in a bad place. And so that dream is unrealized, but they have a league down here, and I've been talking to some of the women that are on the league down here in the Sin City Roller Girls, and they're like, yeah, just come on down. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe. That would be amazing.
You should. Although it's interesting, they don't kind of have like an over 30s league, do they, I think, for slightly more gentle roller derby.
they strap pillows to us.
Like sofa cushions instead of knee pads. Put a sofa cushion over there.
Right.
Do it on a rubber rink and.
Yeah, the rubber rink. swimming pools is where it takes place. You just like run really slowly through the water.
You know, listen, guys. We're gonna have to do this again. I have kept. We could go all night, and. Until time to get dressed and go out somewhere. But I've kept you so far over time, Mercedes. And Jasper, it's been such a thrill to have you here. And Mercedes, a thrill to have you as well. And I can't hog you anymore. People are trying to call in, but because I'm off the show is still recording, but because I'm off the allotted time that I scheduled, people can't call in that are trying. Like Kenya Colbert's tried to call in a couple of times. So Kenya, she said, sorry, I can't get in. So Kenya, we love you. And Kenya's my best friend, so everyone tell Kenya that you love her.
I love her.
Oh, we love you, Kenya. Absolutely. And Mercedes, can I say what a pleasure it is to chat properly with you?
It is such a pleasure. You said something I'd like to congratulate you, and I'm like, who is this man? I'm in love with this voice. Nice to know it's you, Jasper. That makes it a lot less awkward for me.
A lot less awkward. Makes it sound like a swingers club.
Woohoo! You know, this has evolved quite a bit to debauchery the second that he stepped through that door.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have that effect on many things. It's just something unfortunate that we all have to live with.
Well,
I think
so
it's
grateful.
A gift.
It is a gift. And a gift that he keeps on giving to all of us, if we're lucky. If we're lucky. And by the way, speaking of awards, all I could find last night was something that was a Rowan Atkinson bit about accepting an award, and I posted it on Facebook. You probably know the bit. But, okay, so I know I'm holding you over, and you've
okay.
got fans.
Sorry,
I hear your manager.
Yeah, my manager is hungry and wants dinner.
Okay,
she's like chicken nuggets, Mom.
It's been an absolute thrill and delight to have you on here. Mercedes Yardley, you are such a gem, and you're so enchanting and exciting. I'm so thrilled to meet you and talk with you. Congratulations on winning the Bram Stoker Award. I'm so proud for you and happy for you.
Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back sometime.
And
I intend to come back for the Naked Radio issue. I'm going to start working out
will.
So I can be on. So I'll feel so comfortable. I'll be like, I'm flexing now, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, flexing as we speak, darling. So, and to all the people who sent in questions or comments, Brent Robinson and David Hurley and Kenya Colbert, everybody, thank you so much. Jasper Bark, we have celebrity guests dropping in. Jasper Bark. And thank you so much, Jasper, for giving us your time. We really, really do appreciate you. And love you and honor you. And I hope that you'll be on, well, we've talked about you should be on very soon, in a few weeks,
very, very
maybe
soon.
2 weeks, something, yeah.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me crash your party, Mercedes.
Oh, this was fantastic. fantastic, sir.
like another award, wasn't it? So so you'll have to come back then. So thank you all so much for being here on Madam Perry Salon. Next week I have Yvette Dabney, and she has eSparkle Entertainment in Los Angeles, creates videos. She does Hollywood tours, and we will talk to her then. And so good night to Mercedes Yardley, winner of the Bram Stoker Award. I got to say it again, for Little Red Dead, or is it Little Dead Red?
Little Dead Red.
Little Dead Red. Yeah, it's hard for me to say. I grew up with red hair when it wasn't popular to have red hair. And and the our favorite mascot on Madam Perry Salon, Jasper Bark.
Guys, I know you want to go for a walk.